Adventurer has been selected by the West Australian government to deliver a world-class surf park in Jandakot on Pinsnap Road, adjacent to the Kwinana Freeway and Coburn Central train station. However, this is not on a vacant patch of cleared land. At present, it is an established Banksia woodland, home to endangered black cockatoo species, and is set to be bulldozed to make way for the water park. Not only is this woodland integral to the preservation of our east-west corridor for our wildlife, but disrupting this biodiversity hotspot may have adverse impacts to the health of those planning on enjoying a wave park over the wildlife corridor, with potential contamination of the groundwater. Is this a question of profits over preservation from the West Australian government, with the EPA in this instance refusing to assess the land despite community concern? Paddy Cullen is environmental biologist, activist, ornithologist and community organiser with a particular focus on our black cockatoos. I spoke to Paddy about what the impact the wave park will have, the failures of the EPA itself, the West Australian government, and the long-term impacts that prioritising theme parks over woodland will have on our wildlife and the Coburn Corridor.
197 people wrote to the EPA and asked them to assess it because there's a range of environmental things going on there that don't look too good. One thing is that it's situated right in the middle of a threatened ecological community of Banksia woodland. And this is something that's considered nationally important, and it is also part of a globally significant hotspot for species called a global biodiversity hotspot. So this is a really important area, and we know that in this area there's at least two species of endangered black cockatoos that live there, and that the forage there was good to very good according to the environmental impact assessment. So they feed on this Banksia woodland, and the black cockatoos are actually starving at the moment. They've had a lot of their forest chopped down. A lot of it is to do with the mining industry. They've had their the pine trees that they rely on in Nangara are being chopped down, which has supplied up to 60% of their food due to the lack of environment. And on the Swan Coastal Plain, where this threatened ecological community exists, this Banksia woodland, and we are the only city in the world with a Banksia woodland on its doorstep, we're seeing the plans to save that were actually thrown out at Christmas. So the numbers are in decline of the black cockatoos. And in a way, it's similar to how you consider the canaries in the coal mine. If the canaries start dying, you know there's something wrong going on. And it's the same with the black cockatoos.
The EPA has decided not to assess this reserve prior to development. And as it stands, it looks as though the wave park is going ahead. Many people, such as yourself, paid $10 to appeal to the EPA and nothing came from it. So what are the next steps you're actively taking to ensure the preservation of their habitat?
We're also going to be looking at what can be done on a federal level, because these species aren't just important to WA, they are actually important on a global level and a federal level. And one of the species, the Nolianark, or the Carnaby's black cockatoo, is actually one of just 20 bird species on a priority list, which is supposed to get special attention for conservation, according to Tanya Plebisek. But we're not getting that special attention to this bird at all. Its habitat is not even being assessed. So the EPA, they've really failed on a whole range of different levels.
The land isn't assessed by the EPA, does that mean it is like open for any kind of development?
Yeah, they've basically said that this development can go ahead. This which will take all this threatened ecological community away. It's 3.16 hectares of what they say is Banksia woodland in good to very good condition. They've acknowledged.
And this is like old Banksia woodland.
Yes, this is very old Banksia woodland. The interesting thing is that, you know, with all our education and advancements, you know, you wonder how advanced we really are, because across the southwest, we're just seeing the vegetation go down at a colossal rate. There's a 40,000 year history of looking after this country and putting the country first and caring for country, but that legacy seems to have been lost somewhere along the way. I mean, last year they did set a vegetation policy. They said they would be vegetation positive. The federal government also said that they would seek to reach 30% of the area in natural vegetation by 2030. But we're not seeing these policies, which look like they're good on paper. We're not seeing them actually funded. We're not seeing them actually put into action or production or whatever you want to call it. They're just lying there collecting dust, and we're seeing the same old, same old. We're seeing the bulldozers come in and ruin the country.
In many ways, it seems, I guess, that the state government and the federal government itself would rather manage these species into extinction, keep them safe in, I guess, man-made habitat and zoos, instead of maintaining their natural ecological homes.
Yes, well, on paper, they claim that they have good conservation policies. Some of these species even have what they call recovery plans, but they're more like palliative care plans. The actual actions in these policies are so small. We need to be working on a landscape scale here to improve the environment. And the destruction is so large. So we have to draw a line in the sand and start turning this around. We're hoping we can use the surf park now as an example. I will be talking to the Environmental Defender's Office later this week, a group of lawyers. We'll be seeing how we can take this up to a federal level, not through the court cases, but just through the normal processes to see if they actually do work. We know that the federal government is organising a range of new federal laws, but their rollout probably won't happen till much later in the year. So at the moment, we've sort of got a bit of a vacuum. We've got a vacuum at a state level, and we've got a vacuum at a federal level. And that's why Australia is actually the fourth best country, if you like, for extinctions. There's only three countries with a greater rate of extinctions than us. And we're the only, you know, really, we're a developed country, we're an educated country, we're a rich country. If we want to put something in, and we've destroyed enough already, so if we want to put something in like a surf park, there's plenty of areas that are already cleared where they could do this. And it is absolutely mind-numbing and gobsmacking that they would even consider using this threatened ecological community to put such a park.
The Banksia woodland does run right through the corridor. If this is to be developed and put in a wave park, where, aside from the lack of food, how is this going to disrupt the cockatoo's native path, that east to west connection?
Yeah, well, that's right. The cockatoos will not travel across cleared areas. There's been studies done by Murdoch University, and they know that the new housing areas are dead zones to black cockatoos. Well, they're dead zones to just about any native animal, because there is no native vegetation left behind, and that's one of the big issues that we're failing to leave large tracts of native vegetation. And really, this is short-sighted, because we should actually be looking at this native vegetation as something positive, something we should be proud of. We should be expanding it, rehabilitating it, creating wildlife corridors, putting through footpaths right across Perth, north, south, east, west, so you could walk anywhere in Perth through the bush And live in a beautiful global biodiversity hotspot, enjoying this, you know, the wonders of nature. I think it would be a marvellous place. Instead, we're just trashing the place.
The argument for the surf park is that it encourages tourism to Western Australia. But I think the more important question is, at what cost? Is a surf park going to generate sustainable tourism to Australia, or is perhaps our natural landscape and wildlife more important?
Putting in projects that we think will attract tourists, but really people come to Australia, you know, they want to see nature, they want to experience Aboriginal culture. And if we keep the environment intact, there's a great opportunity where Perth could really be just the most fantastic city in the world, where it would be a showcase of the living Noongar culture that has been here for 40,000 years, and a global biodiversity hotspot where you could see the animals and the incredible plants. That's what people would really come for, you know. In terms of a surf park, we have a huge ocean out there. It's massive, you know.
And it's free.
And it's free. No. So I know a lot of surfers, and they're like, why would you put a surf park there? We've got the whole Indian Ocean. We've got one of the most beautiful coastlines in the world.
Hmm.
It just doesn't make sense.
And I suppose that you could have the argument, I guess it's a bit of a dismal argument, but could say that, we might be destroying the habitat in the metro. However, if you go down south, you can see the cockatoos down there, but you also can head down south and surf down there also, to be devil's advocate. Just you don't need to have these theme parks, I guess.
Yeah, I think, but, you know, if they want to have their theme park, I mean, again, that's fine, but let's just do it in an area where that's already been cleared. The other issue with the theme park is the water that they want to take.
Because
they want
polluted?
To take, well, they haven't tested it, okay. But we know just 2 kilometres away there's a class action going at the Jandakot Airport, and that's around PFAS, which is one of the most dangerous chemicals ever made by people. So it's absolutely incredibly dangerous to human health. It's a hormone disruptor, we know that. So it's not something you want in your body. And America have just come out and said that even 70 parts per trillion, not per billion, but per trillion, is the threshold level where it becomes dangerous. So even if there's small traces of that PFAS, which is in the water just 2 kilometres away, then you wouldn't want to be surfing in that. The other issues are that it's near main roads and it's near industrial areas, and we know that it's common for these areas to have heavy metals in them, to have hydrocarbons, and to have a whole range of benzene-type chemicals, which are called the BTEX chemicals there. So they really need to be testing for these, and it's quite shocking that the EPA has failed, you know, to assess this area on a whole range of things. And lastly, they haven't even done the anthropological studies to see if there's any significance, I mean, to Noongar people. And we know for a fact that the Mujar trees are there, the Christmas trees, which are very significant to in Aboriginal of law here in this part of the world. So we know, we've seen quenda diggings there. We know the black cockatoos have a significance to many Noongar people. There's a lot of stories around them, and many Aboriginal people see them as carrying the voice of ancestors. So to disrupt this area is just incredibly short-sighted, and it does go to the fact that we have to have stronger laws. We have to have a stronger EPA. They've actually got to have strong criteria and be well-resourced to follow that criteria. If something that says endangered on it, they've got to assess it. It's just simple as that. They have to assess it.
Has there been any independent study to influence the EPA been done?
No, but this is another area that we're currently talking to the EPA on, and with the major conservation groups in WA. So it's something that we're negotiating with the EDO. Sorry, did I say EDO?
Yeah, EDO. Yeah.
With the EDO, so the Environmental Defenders Office. They have done some studies comparing the laws in different states. And at the moment, it's not looking good for WA. WA is looking at the bottom of the pile. We need to get that official. Then we can say, Queensland is doing this. Why isn't WA doing this? Victoria is doing this. Why isn't WA doing this? And one area is our reporting on the environment. We used to do an assessment every 3 or 4 years. We haven't done one since 2007. It's absolutely ridiculous. We're relying on federal reports to find out what's happening with the condition of our environment. There is hope there, because I think we are on the cusp now. So there is hope. We do have some new federal laws coming in. We do have these new policies in theory, this new vegetation policy that will be nature positive, this new federal policy, which will be 30% cover of natural vegetation by 2030. But we need now people power to push the government in the right direction to make those policies strong, to make sure they actually follow those policies. And if we can do that, then, you know, we won't have to have that conversation with our grandkids. Yes, black cockatoos used to live here and they used to sound like this and they used to be in their thousands and they used to travel in for 6 months and feed in this area and it was marvellous to see them. But I'm sorry, you can't see that now because we've failed to look after their habitat.
In terms of the habitat and the destruction, if it does get, I guess, bulldozed for the surf park, how much land is that as such?
Well, the whole surf park is about 5 hectares. It's just a bit over 5 hectares. Some of it is wetland. Some of it, about 3.16 hectares, is the Banksia woodland in very good condition. And then there's a bit of heathland as well. And they have said that they will offset this, so they will get some more land somewhere else. But it's not like you can create land. If there's land somewhere else where they're not going to destroy, it doesn't add anything to the conservation system. We're still ending up with
a
deficit.
Would they even assure that that would be on in the corridor?
Well, it wouldn't. There's no land there for them to do an offset anywhere nearby. And for some of the black cockatoos, particularly the two endangered species that we're worried about, the nolac or the Borden's cockatoo and the nolianac, the Carnaby's cockatoo, you know, they would still be going hungry. With the Bowdens or the nolac, it's changed its status internationally now from endangered to critically endangered. It's just a couple of small steps away from becoming extinct.
It's a little bit sad that we often don't have to start fighting for things until they become endangered. I think we need to be caring for country and our wildlife and our biodiversity before it becomes a concern and appreciate it while we have it. In taking this further federally, how can people get involved and help support you in doing that?
Well, we do on the Save the Black Cockatoos website, we do have a letter going out to Tanya Plibersek and to the Minister for Environment asking for stronger laws. So that won't cost anything. People can just get on there.
So you already have a template prepared?
We have a template, not just for the surf park, but for stronger laws overall, because the surf park is an example of what's going on, but it's not a standalone issue. Sadly, it's the norm, what's happening. And this surf park, for instance, was going to be near the river initially. And again, the EPA, despite it being affecting a bird reserve with over 130 different species, they said they didn't need to assess that either. But it was only public opinion that came in on top of that that finally led the government to say, okay, we're not having it here by the river. So then they've got the second location, and again they've said no need to assess. So now, again, we're relying a bit on people power and pushing the issue through the media and pushing the issue through various government departments to see if we can get action.